I invite you to take your Bibles, please. If you have your Bible, hold it up just a second. Look at that. Isn't that pretty?
Amen.
This is a Bible church, a Bible-believing church. And it's good to see that you brought your Bible with you today. Acts 13. And we're going to have one verse today, verse 26. Acts 13 and verse 26. The title of the message is, To You. That's the simple title. Acts 13:26. Having found your place, you follow now as I read this one verse, and then we'll give you a little bit of the background of what's going on here and make the application. Verse 26, Paul said, Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, he's speaking primarily to Jews, and whosoever among you feareth God, that takes in anybody, and especially them, to you, there are those two words, to you is the word of this salvation sent. To you is the word of this salvation sent. Now, if you want to know a little bit about who he's speaking to, you read previous chapters and know a little about the background, you'll know that Paul had been sent out, he and Barnabas, from the church at Antioch. John Mark went with him, and John Mark became Baptistic and quit, and he went back home, but the other two continued. And they went in different places around about preaching the gospel, and they came back to Antioch. And here they are on this occasion. They had been persecuted. Peter just kept on preaching. They had thrown him in jail. And the church was busy praying that he would get out of jail. And when he got out of jail, he went there to tell them he was out of jail, out of prison. And Dorcas came to the door. And when she got there, to the gate, and when she got there, she said, I recognize that voice. That's Peter. And she ran back, or wrote it was, she ran back inside to the people. She said, I hate to interrupt your prayer meeting, but God's already answered your prayer, more or less. I mean, she said, Peter's at the gate. And they said, get out of here. You're crazy. What's the matter with you? Have you lost your mind? If we're going to pray, folks, let's expect God to answer our prayers. Amen. And he answered prayers, and Peter got out, and he's preaching, and he's giving the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, to you is the word. Now, what is the word of this salvation that he's talking about? To you is the word of this salvation. What is that word of salvation that he's talking about? Well, it's the testimony that Jesus Christ is the promised Savior. That's the word. Go back in verse 23. Of this man's seed, he goes back to Abraham, comes right on down through to David and Jesse, and then he says, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel, what? A Savior, Jesus. He has raised up a Savior. And that's the word that he's talking about, and that is the testimony. Jesus was and is the promised Savior. And it was promised by the prophets and promised to them as the seed. And he said, this is the one I'm telling you about. You've been wanting to know. I'm here preaching, and I'm going to tell you the truth, that this is the seed. He is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. That implies somebody needs to be saved. And that implies not only does somebody need to be saved, but that he can take care of saving them. He is the Savior, and he can save, and he promises forgiveness to everyone. Look at verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, he's preaching to a congregation, synagogue of people who have gathered together. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. He's simply saying to them, you cannot be justified by trying to keep the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses. You have to be justified through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they didn't like hearing that. They wanted to brag about being the seed of Abraham. They wanted to brag about trying to keep the law, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And you had those two main sects. And the Pharisees were people who believed in a literal resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see, because they did not believe in a resurrection. And so, but they believed in works and good deeds, and this is how I'm going to get to heaven. And he says, no, 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 I'm telling you, it's Jesus Christ. He is the promised Savior, and you are sinners, and you need a Savior if you're going to get to heaven. And it requires, of course, repentance. We have to turn from our old way and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ simultaneously, and by faith receive Him. We're justified by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, and we receive the forgiveness of sins. This is the message that we have today. This is the message our missionaries have. It's the message of Worth Baptist Church. It's the message of believers around the world who understand the Bible. We're telling people that Jesus is the Savior, and you need to be saved, and He will forgive all who will repent and turn and come to Him by faith and trust Him. Amen. He proclaims a perfect salvation. Not many things in this life are perfect, but this is a perfect salvation. And he talks about that in verses 32 and 33. Look at it. He's still preaching to them. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, the very Son of God, that he raised from the grave, that he raised from the dead. He said to them, David died, and David's body deteriorated. But he said, Jesus Christ died, and his body did not deteriorate. He wasn't in there long enough for that to happen. Thank God he arose. He overcame hell, death, in the grave. He arose. Thank God today we have a risen Savior. He's alive. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us right now. He is a risen Savior, a perfect Savior, who conquered it all for you and for me. So it's a proclamation of a perfect salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ and a perfect Savior, a risen Savior. It is a word of salvation, a word of being saved. And the Bible declares it to be so. The Bible gives us nothing more, nothing less than this declarative message to preach. And it is pressed home here by Paul as he's preaching to these people. You'd have thought he'd have been a little deeper theologically in his Sunday morning message. But he had a message to preach. It was important. A message of salvation. And the gospel is sent. Thank God for the dispensation of mercy. We'd better be glad we have a dispensation, a time period called grace. And I know God's always dealt in grace, but we in the New Testament live in a very unique time, the church age. It is a time of the grace of God being poured out. And during this time, God has given His Holy Spirit. The church existed, and the church was empowered on the day of Pentecost. And God has given His Holy Spirit to go out and work and draw and pull and convict people to show them that they need to be saved. And it's all because of His amazing grace. He's going to speak to some people here today that aren't saved. He's going to say to you, listen to that preacher. He's telling you the truth. You don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. You want to be saved. You want to be born again. You don't want to leave this building not knowing for sure if you died where you'd go. The Holy Spirit pulls you and draws you and convicts you and makes you a little bit nervous and a little bit tense and a little uneasy about things. Not because He hates you, it's because of His grace. Nobody can come to the Lord except the Spirit draw them. I'm glad He drew me to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm glad we live in this day of grace and mercy, and the Holy Spirit was sent to do that. Now, what way is the gospel sent to you? How is it sent to us? Well, it's sent to us in the Great Commission. When Jesus was getting ready to go away, he said, "Now I want you to do this. I want you to go out and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, as a church, we're trying to get that done. We're trying to help get it done. I introduced two missionaries today. What are missionaries? They're people that are called by God to leave their home state or country sometimes, or to be involved in works that are doing that so that the gospel gets to go all over the place. And I preached a missions conference last Sunday night through Wednesday, and we have some missionaries there, and they are missionaries to Guatemala. Then there were other missionaries that from other countries, Croatia. There was one missionary there. There was a missionary in Utah, and he's winning a lot of Mormons to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there was our own Kelly Weiler, who is involved in translation. And thank God somebody is going to give them the Bible in their own language wherever she goes and helps to do that. And all of that has to do with the Great Commission. We're doing what God said to get the gospel out to the whole world, because the whole world deserves the opportunity to hear about Jesus. They deserve to hear about this good news. And when you give your tithes and your offerings and above that to missions, and we're able to give $200,000 or so a year to missions, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less, but we're able to really give to missions, we're helping get this out and fulfill the Great Commission. And I think I may have mentioned this to you, it may have been in missions conference, but I heard a guy say the other day that he was talking to someone. And I think it was Brother Volante. We were talking after last Sunday's message. And he said that his brother attended a church and they run thousands, not hundreds, but thousands. And his brother-in-law was a little bit discouraged with the whole thing. And I won't go into all of that, the kind of ministry. But he asked him, he said, "Well, how many missionaries do you have? How many missionaries, church that size, how many missionaries do you have?" He said, "Not one." He said, "Not one?" He said, "Not one missionary. They run thousands. They don't have one missionary." He said, "Why is that? Why would that be?" He said, "Because our pastor believes that we're just supposed to take care of our Jerusalem and that's it." That's not biblical. Amen? You agree with that? Say amen. That's not biblical. We're not supposed to just take care of our Jerusalem. And I'm telling you, if we're not going to the mission field, we will become a mission field. It's just part of it. Not only that, the gospel is sent to you by the providence of God. One night, years ago, I went to a church on a Sunday night. It was a revival meeting. We had our pastor that I loved dearly as a little boy and was taught to respect and to love. And then we had a visiting pastor who really preached that night. And I remember listening to them, and I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ clear cut, and I got saved. Now I want to tell you, I was not there by accident that night, nor was the guest speaker there by accident that night. The message he preached that night was not preached accidentally. That message was aimed at me and three or four others that got saved in that little country church. And by the way, thank God for little country churches. God does a work there too. I wouldn't be here as a preacher if it wasn't for a little country church, a little white frame country church. It's still about the same. But thank God for it. And they preach the gospel. And let me say to you, my dear friend, you're not here today by accident. Somebody invited you to come. You came with them. You're not here by accident. Are you listening? You're here on purpose. God has you here. He's allowed you to be here today, perhaps, and no doubt, to hear this plain, simple gospel message of how to be saved. You're not here. God, in His good providence, has allowed you to be here today so you can come to Christ and be saved. And not only that, but it meets every case, this gospel. What way is the gospel sent to you? Well, it's sent to anybody. Every case. Now, if some of you were sick and you had a disease and you had another one, and some over here had another one, some over here had another one, and I'd say, "I'm sorry, I've got one medicine and it only take care of this kind of flu over here. That's it." And the rest of you say, "Well, boy, man, that's not, doesn't seem too fair. They're going to get healed, but we're not. We're going to stay sick and be sick." But I'm glad I can report to you today that God has the medicine for anybody on the face of this earth that will heal your sin-sick soul. It doesn't matter how sick you are or what you've done or where you've been. The medicine suits your disease. The disease is sin. Some have gone deeper into sin than others, but all are sinners, and we have the medicine for you today. It's the balm of Gilead. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will heal you. Wouldn't it be sad if we had to single out somebody and say, I'm sorry? Somebody came to me and said, I want to get saved, preacher. And I said, I'm sorry. It's not for you. You're the wrong nationality. Your skin's the wrong color. I'm sorry. It's not for you. Wouldn't that be sad? If we had to tell anybody who wanted to be saved, it's not for you. I'm sorry. I can remember when I was a little kid, my first cousin, I went to her birthday party. And I was probably the younger kid there. And they were, I think if I recall right, they were dropping clothespins into an old milk jug or something like that. Gambling, I guess. I don't know. I don't even remember about the prize. But I remember going up, and I thought it was getting to be my time. And I remember my aunt. She never was my favorite aunt. And she, especially after that, she said, I'm sorry, you're not old enough. You can't do this. And I felt so sad. I went off and I thought, why can't I do it? They can do it. I can stand up there and do that. Wouldn't it be sad if we had to tell somebody, I'm sorry, friend, you can't get saved. They come up here today in our invitation, they walk up to me and say, I heard what you said. I want to be saved. I said, man, that's great, but I'm sorry you can't get saved. Hallelujah, they can get saved. Praise God, it's for anybody, anywhere, anytime. And it would be terrible sad if we had to single it out. And then in what position does it place you? This gospel. It said, to you is the word of this salvation sent. To you. To you. So what position does it place you in? Well, the positive part is it places you in singular favor. Hallelujah. It places you in a position of singular favor. Did you know that the prophets, the Bible says, didn't even have what we have today? To preach it in the same way and the understanding of it, that God opened it up in the New Testament, and you are singularly blessed compared to them, because many of the prophets and priests died without hearing what I have already told you today, is that you're a sinner and Jesus died for you and he'll save your soul. Amen. Many of those things they didn't fully understand, the Bible said. Not only that, the position it places you in is you have an indebtedness to the martyrs. You see, the reason we're here today and the reason I can still preach this book is because there were some people who died, martyrs. This book didn't come to us, and the church didn't come to us today without a price. We have it easy, probably too easy. We probably need an old-fashioned dose of real, real persecution. And if some people get in office, we may get it. I don't know. I don't know why I said that, but at any rate, I think it was Brother Gaiman made me say that. But we may be in for some rough days. But it may press us to the bosom of the Lord. Let me tell you something. Don't forget that there have been people who have been murdered and murdered in thousands. I'm not talking about just a few. I'm talking about thousands have been murdered. They've been murdered. James, the Bible tells us right along in here. James, Herod had his head cut off. Or killed him with a sword. We assume maybe his head was cut off. And he was killed so that we could get the gospel. Peter thrown in jail, and Peter later crucified. And if we believe what they tell us, tradition tells us, we don't know this for sure, that he was crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior. I'm not worthy to die like him. You see, the martyrs have died and church has paid a price. We take it for granted that we can come and assemble and preach and have the freedom we have. But somebody paid a high price for us to have that. As a matter of fact, that had something to do with why they came over here and founded this country so we could have religious freedom. Amen. They're trying to take it away from us. We better be ready, and we need to be alert to what's going on out there, and we need to do a little writing, a little calling to representatives and senators and all, whether we like them or not, and tell them, look, don't pass that kind of amendment, because that'll mean that if I get up and preach and I say something about homosexuals that it is wrong, then I can be arrested for a hate crime and thrown in prison. And I know you say it'll never happen in America. We never thought we'd kill 1 million+ babies a year either, did we? We never thought we'd see them suck babies out at the very last and suck the stem cells out in order for somebody to have some kind of medical help. You don't have to do that to have the help that they need for medical help. There are many other ways of doing that. You don't have to kill little babies as they're being born in order to get that for stem cell. You just don't have to do that. I'm just saying to you, we need to remember the price that has been paid. And then you have a church that is filled today with hopefulness. Do you know what would make everybody here happier than most anything that would happen here today would be if one person got saved? You'd go home and eat your lunch. Some of you probably say, well, somebody got saved. Hallelujah. Now let's go on to other things. But we ought to say, hey, praise God. Whatever you're going to eat, my pinto beans and cornbread going to taste great for lunch today because somebody got saved. Amen. Somebody came to the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved. And you know, we want you to come. And a lot of times, lost people, sinners, we're all sinners now. Understand that. I'm just a sinner that's been saved by the grace of God. But lost people come to church and they think, well, they're going to think of me. They look down on me. They'll say, well, they're bad sinners. Just get over it. We're all sinners. Just join the club. And admit you're a sinner. And when you step out to the aisle and walk down here, don't feel like everybody's wondering, what's he done? What's she done? And if they are, they're wrong. They ought to be praying for you. And just don't worry about that and come on and do what you should do. Because I can guarantee you, probably just about everybody in this building is saying, I hope somebody gets saved. And after a while, we're going to bow our heads and I'm going to pray and some of you are going to pray and you're going to say, God, if there's a lost person here, save them. Now, I might add here, we need to do a better job of getting the lost here, all of us. But if there's one, if there's two, if there's four or five, we're here to see them saved, and we're hopeful that they will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope it every time. Not only that, it puts you in a position of responsibility. It puts you in a position of serious, let me underscore that, in a position of serious responsibility. Now the ball's in your court. Maybe you've heard it before, but now you've heard it again. By the way, the more you hear it, the more you reject it, the more you harden your heart. There's a spiritual atrophy that sets in like concrete if you keep saying no, keep saying no. And Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If we say no to it, that's neglecting it. Here it is, you want it, no, you're neglecting salvation. Now here's the question. You see, you have the responsibility now. The question is, how will you treat this word? By the way, it's to you. To you is the word of this salvation sent. If you're here without Christ today, to you this word is sent. So what are you going to do? Here's what a lot of people do. Delay the reply. I put it off. I like what you said. I'll be thinking about it. I'll delay right now. I just don't want to go up there right now. I don't know if I'm ready. Friend, all you got to do to be ready is be willing. It's not a matter of ready, it's willing. And I want to tell you, delay is a dangerous course. Here's why. There are some who walk down the street of delay right into hell, right into eternity. I'm going to delay. I'm going to get on that road. I'm going to get on the road of delay a while. And they have gone into eternity lost. I've buried them. I've preached, saw them under conviction, watched them walk out the door, and buried them before the next week was over. Numbers of times. Not every time, but numbers of times. That's a dangerous road and a dangerous course. Secondly, there are some who will play the hypocrite. And I want you boys and girls and children, teenagers, to listen real closely here. I'm not saying that all of you do that. I'm saying it's very possible, and that's true for adults too. But some play the hypocrite. In other words, they pretend they have received Jesus Christ. They go through the motions, but in the heart, they really don't. Their life does not change. Let me tell you, if you really get saved, if you really get saved and come to know Christ, your life's going to change. I didn't say you'd be perfect overnight, but your life will change. Your desires will change. You will, if you're saved, your desire, listen to me, if you're saved, your desires won't be to walk with the world and do what the world's people are doing and do what the other teenagers are doing and doing what the lost people are doing. You're not going to want to do that because you're saved. And we are, I'm not so sure we shouldn't just quit saying, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Because most everybody you meet says, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. Maybe we ought to ask the question, are you a Christ follower? That's different. I know a lot of people claim to be Christians. They no more follow Christ than anything. Something is wrong with that. If you get saved, then you need to be a Christ follower. And that covers a whole nother message at a different time. But don't play the hypocrite. You see, you can fool a lot of folks and die and go to hell. You haven't won. You haven't won anything. Then there are those who act the part temporarily, and I've just sort of covered that just then, and what a terrible thing that is. But then there are those who accept it with delight. That's what most of us have done. That's what I did. That's what most of you have done, but maybe some of you have not done that. Accept it with delight. It is sent to you. This gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the word of life to those that are dead. It is liberty to the captives. It is healing to the diseased. It is cleansing to the polluted. It is comfort to the disconsolate. It is direction to the bewildered. It is refreshment to the weary. It is the word of salvation. It is the plan of God to be born again. It's all there. Let's bow our heads. Every head is bowed. If you're here, dear friend, without knowing for sure that you're going to heaven. In fact, you may very well know that you are not and that you're not saved. My dear friend, the gospel is given you today. Jesus died for you, paid your sin debt. And the only way you can get to heaven is to come and ask Him to come into your heart to save you, and I'm asking you to do that. Accept Christ as your Savior. Don't get on the street to delay. That's dangerous. Don't play games. Don't pretend. Just come to Jesus Christ, and He'll refresh your soul. Then I want to say to you that are believers, you that are Christians, and myself too, and I need to do a better job, and we all need to get involved in giving the gospel. Those lepers that went out and got found the food, they said, we do not well if we don't take it back to others inside the wall. Many of us here, most of us probably need to do a better job of giving the gospel to people. We need to not, are we ashamed of it? We've got the good news, friend. We don't want our loved ones to go to hell. Share it. And then may I say that please be sure your life backs it up. To share the gospel and live like the devil is hypocrisy. To share the gospel and claim to be a Christian and tell others about it and to live outside of God's will is unwise. You need to get your heart right with God today so your gospel presentation will be effective, so you'll have the power of God on your life. Friend, if you're not saved, come. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed. We want you to come. Our hope is that you will come. Please come. We'll be glad if you do. Receive Christ. Father, thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He died and was buried and arose. Thank you that Paul had the courage to preach in that synagogue the truth to those people. And he said to you, and today I've been able to share the gospel to these people, and it's to those especially that are not saved. I pray they'd come today. And I pray, God, that some of us who are believers would come and say, Lord, we're not getting enough unsaved people down to the church for the preacher to preach to. We need to do a better job. And I want to come this morning, pray about it and talk to you about it and say, Lord, I'll try to do a better job to get lost people here and to be a witness. Lord, I pray that if there's sin in our lives as believers, help us to know that people are going to stumble over us into hell until we get our habits, our lives right. Other teenagers stumbling over teenagers who are not right with God. Other adults stumbling over adults who are not right with God. Oh God, I pray you'd help us to be thoroughly right with you today. Thank you for the grace through Christ, in whose name we pray.